We have to really do it. So one clarifying point, I forgot to mention this yesterday. We mentioned how after you say Amotzi Lachem Min Ha'aretz, you're not supposed to speak, right? Because it's like, thank you Hashem for the bread, and then you have to go right into the bracha. Yeah, what I didn't mention, although I mentioned in the past, is between Nitilat Yadayim and Hamotzi. Right? Once you've washed your hands, but you haven't eaten bread yet. So as we all know, the custom of the Jewish people is to not talk, to be quiet. Right? So the truth is, though, in this case, the actual halacha is a little bit more lenient than what people know about. The Rambam writes that a person is allowed to talk. It's not a problem to talk. You're just not allowed to have anything which is going to distract you from having kavanah. French toast is most certainly a mozi. It's bread. So the Rambam says you can talk. You just can't have something that's going to take away your intention. The Rush, on the other hand, says you shouldn't even talk. Because if you're going to talk, you're going to come to forget, and then you're going to come to speak, and then you're going to touch an impure place. So Ashkenazim try to be machmir, because that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, of the Ramah, that we try not to talk. Svardim are not as strict, because the Shulchan Aruch seems to go more like the Rambam, that says, okay, if you talk, it's not a big deal. So Lemaisa, if you spoke between Netilat Yadayim and Hamoti, it's not a big deal, okay? But ideally, if you're an Ashkenazi, like most of us, it's best not to talk. But if you spoke, you don't have to rewash. It's not the end of the world, okay? With that said, you're allowed to talk, like Yakir already mentioned, if it's anything related to bread, salt, pass the salt, whatever, then everyone agrees you're allowed to talk, okay? That's just a clarification in terms of Netilat Yadayim, yes, talking, but after you said Hamoti Lachem Min Ha'aretz, no talking. Okay, it's very confusing. A lot of people get confused with that.
Is it talking or communicating?
Even communicating would be problematic between Hamotzi and eating, but it wouldn't be a hefsek so great that you would have to re-bless. Okay, but if you actually spoke, you would have to re-bless between Hamotzi Lachem and Ha'aretz. Okay? Question?
Is it saying the niggun between the washing?
Oh, okay. So singing a niggun between the Netilat Yadayim and Hamotzi Lachem and Ha'aretz, no problem at all. No problem at all. I do it in my house. Like you said, even speaking according to the Rambam would be okay. All the more so, singing a niggun actually can get you into good headspace. It's nice. So you can sing. I think singing is good. But between Hamoti Lechem Min Ha'aretz and actually saying the Amen, I've seen that a lot of rabbis are strict. I try to be strict in my house. We don't sing between Hamotzi Lachem Min Ha'aretz and saying the bracha. At least I don't sing. Sometimes people around me do, but I don't sing. Because it's like, I wouldn't say, Ray, my name is Onos. And then eat. I just wouldn't do that.
But delayed gratification between when you could actually eat the Hamotzi, not when you eat Mizonos. It's like Mizonos right in front of you, but Hamotzi you're passing around. It might be 5 minutes.
That's why people sing. But I'm saying technically it's the same thing. You said a bracha, so you really should eat right away. With that said, I have seen that people do this, and I've even seen some people who know halacha who do this. Maybe because they're not actually singing the song, it's So I don't know. You should double check. Maybe there is reason to be lenient, but personally, I would suggest against it. It just seems like it's a little bit of a hefsek. I say the bracha, I should eat right away, even if it's at someone's Shabbos table. What I'll do is, I won't verbalize.
What do you sing?
I don't sing. Between Tilti Naim and Amosi, I will sing,
Do you sing?
I usually sing, the Orish. Come to my house for Shabbos. But really, just whatever I'm in the mood for.
Sure.
Anyways, okay. So that's a clarification regarding Tilti Naim and Amosi. One other point I forgot to point out before we start benching is the godless of saying Amen. The Gemara says that greater is the reward for saying Amen than even saying the bracha. Okay? And you're supposed to say Amen with your whole heart, with all your strength. Okay? Now to clarify, all your strength does not necessarily mean you have to scream Amen. In fact, the Gemara says you're not supposed to say Amen louder than the Chazan. Okay? Whatever, you're supposed to be about the same or lower than the Chazan. So what does all your strength mean? Kavana. With all your Kavana, you should be saying Amen. But with that said, it is a praiseworthy thing to verbalize when you say Amen. Okay? To say it loud and proud, that usually helps us me'orer kavana. In general, in davening, it's good to say davening aloud. Shmon Esrei is a little bit of an exception, but in general, verbalizing things awakens kavana, so amen also. Okay? Why is it, why do you guys think that amen is considered even greater than the one who says the blessing? What does the Gemara mean when it says that? What do you guys think? How could it be that just saying amen, you think the guy who says the bracha, that's like he's bringing the blessing into the world, I'm just saying amen. So how could it be that saying amen is on a higher level even than saying the bracha?
Because he doesn't necessarily agree with he's saying it, but you are saying amen.
Why is he saying it if he doesn't believe him?
Because he's the chazan and he gets money for it.
He's the chazan and he has to do it, so that's nice. Alright, I hear that. It's a good pshat. Why else? What other pshats? It's open to your interpretation, so you can be creative with this one. I would just, first of all, I would say there's the end zone, the touchdown analogy, right? You could have a 99-yard pass, and you don't get to do a touchdown dance, right? But you get 1 yard into the end zone, and you have to do all the coolest dances, right? Because you got the touchdown. You mamish, brought us to the end zone. So the blesser, he brought it, he's great. But who's the guy that really like joins you and the whole community together in this public proclamation of like Hashem is awesome? The guy who says Amin. He's like getting the touchdown. So in a way, he's like joining the whole community together for the Amin. I don't know. I just think it's showing that it's not just you believe this. It's like we're all in this together. Okay, that's my explanation. You can give your own. What does Amen mean? On a technical, on a practical level, what kavana should we be having when we say Amen?
I agree.
I agree. I believe in this. Amen from a lashon of
Amunah.
Amunah. Right? So the Shulchan Aruch, I should be thinking, I believe. This is true. True debt. Like you say, Chonin Das, I should be saying, this is true and let it happen. Thank Hashem that He gave me wisdom when I say Chonen Adas or Yushalayim. Yes, let it be that Hashem should rebuild the Beit HaMikdash today. It's like a higher level of Kavanah for me. Yeah, come.
Isn't
it
Rosh Tevos for something?
Is yeah, Amen is Rosh Tevos for Kel Melech Ne'aman. Nechon. It's also Gematria, 91, which is Malach, creates an angel. There's a whole book. We used to have it. It's a whole book. It's a very cute book. And it just goes miracle stories about Amen. Like, the guy said Amen, and then he was saved from the airplane crash. All these cute little stories about the cool stuff that Amen creates. So, I am that Givaldic cheesy book, if you want
to. It's like harder to say Amen than harder to say
Shabbat. Why?
It's like doing Chazara. It's easier to look at things for the first time. Like, when you react to things, like, reread Chazars.
Nice. Like, first time it's like new, but the second time.
Like, oh, you already said that. I'm curious.
Also, like, on a practical level, the chazan, he's saying the bracha, he's got to do it. But, like, to actually listen and be passive and still be part of that, and still say amen, it's like chazarat hashat when everyone's spacing out. That's pretty gavav. So, in any case, it's a big thing to say amen, and during brachos, that's another klalim of brachot that I forgot to mention. And now, we're ready to start Birkat HaMazon. Very exciting. Okay, so does anyone know what is the source for Birkat HaMazon? Yeah? Excellent. There are a lot of people know V'yachalta Tzvarat V'arat Chadal. Some people forget, though, the end of the Pasuk. What's the end of the Pasuk? Ala Aret HaTovah Asher Hashem Natan Lach. Okay, Devarim Shmot 8:10. Okay, I think it's Parshat Ekev. The Torah commands us that we have a mitzvah to eat, to be satisfied, to bless. But what people forget is, what are we blessing on? On the land. Okay? Right? People forget that benching, Birkat HaMazon, is fundamentally connected with Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So, Rav Nevin Saul, in his Sefer, has a beautiful question. He asks like this. It seems to indicate that benching is very relevant when you're in the land of Israel. Right? So when I have a Tim Tam made in, Israel. I don't know if they're really made in Israel. Let's say they were made in Israel. So they're not. But whatever. Let's say I have bread made in Israel. It makes sense to thank Hashem for the bread of Eretz Yisrael. That makes a lot of sense. But when I'm in New York, I'm in Puerto Rico, and I'm eating my apple, or I'm eating my bread made in Puerto Rico, how is it that I'm biblically fulfilling a mitzvah of Birkat HaMazon? The verse seems to be indicating that I'm thanking Hashem for the land of Israel. So, and yet, halachically, we paskin that you're just as biblically obligated to do benching in New York as you are in Israel. Right? But the pashup shot of the pasuk is, Ala aretz hatovah, asher Hashem notenach. It's on the land of Israel. What do I have to do with it when I'm in New York? You know, what's
it? It still recognizes it's your homeland, and it's like where you aspire to be. Home is where your heart is.
Okay, for sure. Definitely, your heart's still in Israel, wherever you go. Definitely a valid answer. Gabe, you have another suggestion?
The Rabban says that all the mitzvot don't count outside of Israel, so we're just
preparing. Ah, that's interesting. So, that kind of makes the question even stronger. Right? The Rabban seems to be consistent. Right? The Pasuk says, thank Hashem for bread for coming to the land of Israel. And the Ramban seems to go well with that. The Ramban saying all the mitzvahs are only relevant, really, not only, but they're mainly relevant in Eretz Yisrael. But in the Chutz La'aretz, they're good reminders. Okay? But the thing is with that Ramban, is that even the Ramban doesn't mean it literally. If you ask me, he does mean that, of course, the mitzvahs are very significant in Eretz Yisrael. But he doesn't mean that technically, if I'm in Chutz La'aretz and I forgot to bench, that it's only a drabbanan obligation. No, it's still a biblical obligation. And so if I'm suffik brachos, lahakel, but not, that's drabbanan, but for biblical lahachmir. So if I'm not sure if I bench, even if I'm in New York, what's the halacha? You still bench, okay? So we have to understand what that Ramban means, but he doesn't mean that technically it's not a biblical mitzvah. Okay, so the question still stands, how is it that when I'm in America and I'm eating my piece of bread, that I'm still biblically obligated on the same level as a Jew living in Yerushalayim? Exactly. So this is how Reb Nevin Saul explained it. He says that there's two times in the Torah when the Torah commands us about the land of Israel, about appreciating the land of Israel. The first time is in Devarim 8, in the concept of Yachalta V'Savata Rachta. And there, it's talking about how the Jewish people were in the desert, and they didn't have any food. And soon they're going to be going to the land of Israel, where they're going to have a natural food source. They're going to have food, right? So you have to thank Hashem for the land of Israel, because the land of Israel is going to be the source of your food. Okay? It's not about not just about the uniqueness of the land of Israel, that it's spiritual, that divine providence, all that stuff. It's just about the fact that they're in the desert, they don't have a food source. And soon, they're going to have a kavua food source once they go to the land of Israel. Okay? So while we're talking about Israel, the main topic is really the food. Okay? You get it? Later, two prakim later, the Torah goes, we have to thank Hashem for Eretz Yisrael. It's not about the food. It's about the spirituality, Eretz Asher Tamid Enei Hashem Elokech Haba, divine providence, the connection with Hashem. There, it's all about the spiritual significance of Eretz Yisrael. But in Devarim 8, it's much more practically, we're thanking Hashem for Israel, because Israel is the source of a land, and a land equals ability to have an economy and to have food. So that bracha is just as relevant in New York as it is in Israel. Okay, so even if I'm eating bread made in New York, I'm totally biblically able to thank Hashem for the fact that I have food, and that's just as relevant there as Israel. With that said, on a Kabbalistic level, Yakir is totally right, and Kabbalistically, spiritually, the shefa, the blessing for all of our food, even in New York, comes from Israel. right? Whatever that means, but like the blessing from to the world, of, even at my Tim Tam in New York, comes from the land of Israel. So even when I'm in New York, I should totally be thinking about New York, Eretz Israel, and the food, and just as a practical way of making that happen, every time you bench, you're really talking about Yerushalayim, Eretz Israel. I'm eating a little cookie in Brooklyn, and I'm like talking five times about, you know, Eretz Israel and Yerushalayim. It's pretty inspiring how we're so obsessed with Eretz Israel. We never stop thinking about it. We never stop dreaming about Eretz Israel throughout all of the Gullah for 2,000 years. Right? Psh, thank you very much. So on a practical level, I find benching and Ala Michia to be a great reminder of our the Jewish people's obsession with the land of Israel. Right? Just got to go on a little tangent. I was with Rabbi Rishkin yesterday. You guys know Rabbi Rishkin? So Rabbi Rishkin teaches at the place where I go for a Shlichut course. And Rabbi Rishkin was talking about how it's like there's no country in the history of the world that's ever for 200 years left their land and come back to their land. Like, no one ever did that in the history of the world, right? And yet the Jewish people, after 2,000 years, has been dreaming of the land of Israel, have been talking about the land of Israel, and we came back to our land, and we're here. Like, that's a crazy miracle. And for him, it's like one of the strongest proofs of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that somehow the Jewish people came back to our land. And a big part of the thing that kept the Jewish people's love of the land of Israel going was things like brachot and birkat hamazon, where we constantly remind ourselves of our land, of our love of the land of Israel. So I had to sneak that in there. Definitely connected to the parsha, also to what's going on in Eretz Yisrael right now. So that's a little introduction to birkat hamazon. As I mentioned, birkat hamazon is biblical, right? So if I'm not sure if I said the bracha or not, I go back and bench. Okay, it's a serious halacha. And the Gemara in Brachos Memches darshins that each bracha was made at a different time in history. Okay, so the first bracha of Hazanat HaKol, who established that bracha? Anybody remember? Who is the one who said that? Who gave the nusach, the wording for the first bracha of Birkat Hamazon? Now in David Melch later, even before David Melch, Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu, when the man fell, he said, "Wow, thank Hashem, amazing, we have food." And so he established the nusach for the bracha of Hazanat HaKol. Okay? The Gemara goes on, it says, "Nodelcha ala aretz." Who established the nusach for that bracha? If Moshe established for the food, Yeshua. Yeshua established, when the Jewish people conquered the land of Israel, he's the one who established Nodelcha. Okay, when they conquered Eretz Yisrael. The next, Va'alakol Hashem al Arta Tavash Hashem Nalach. No, Rachem Na. Who established that? Al Yisrael Mecha, Al Yishalayim Erecha. Who is the one who wrote that nusach? Excellent, David HaMelech. David HaMelech, when once he was dreaming, we got Eretz Yisrael, and he was dreaming of Yerushalayim. So he's the one who established Rachem Na. And then who established Uvnei Yerushalayim? Excellent. Once the Beit HaMikdash was actually built, the Shlomo HaMelech was mitaken the wording for Uvnei Yerushalayim. Okay? So that's pretty cool. Again, the bracha is biblical, but the nusach kept like changing historically when different things happen. Okay? Now, yeah? I didn't eat.
Yeah.
You had
mazona? No, I didn't do anything. But I'll have mazona.
You
have without me? Technically, right now you can bench or you don't have to bench. You can do a Zima without benching and bench later. Or you can bench. That's good. Perfect blend. for a second. Okay, so we'll learn in Lamaise the practical stuff like we just saw. You can do a Zimun and then bench later. You're just supposed to wait until the Zimuner says Hazanat HaKol. He's supposed to say it aloud. Another practical halacha that we just learned. Because it's biblical, and a lot of people mess up with this, like Shmona Esrei, you're not supposed to be doing anything except benching. Even hand motion would be a problem. So the minhag of many camps do all that stuff. not really the best minhag. I'll tell you, during the Harachaman section, it's totally fine.
You can leave it to the last section.
Right, exactly. So that Harachman is totally fine. You could totally do it.
Why is it?
Because we're going to explain that the Rachman is a minhag, and you can have fun. It's just a cut.
What about dancing?
Also, minhag sukim, no problem.
So what's the last
you could dance.
What's
it's
the
fun.
Last thing before the minhag?
So I was explaining. I'll go back to the order. Okay, so the three brachas are biblical. Then we have the fourth blacha after Uvnei Yishalayim, which is Hatove Ametiv. Okay, and that is
rabbinical.
Okay, that's a, the rabbis established. Hatov Emetiv, after Uvenei. Uvenei is the end of the biblical section. To signify that it's the end of the biblical section, we say Amen. Amen. That's like the rabbi's way of saying the biblical section is over. And then the rest is rabbinical. Okay? So if you weren't sure if you said Hatov Emetiv, you wouldn't go back. Okay? Yeah.
Can you drink?
When?
The water. If you're like, while you're benching. Like
you shouldn't be drinking. Nah, I don't think that. During Harachaman you probably could, but not during Benjamin. No. Okay. Now, when was Hatov Ametiv established historically? What's the deal with that? Anybody know? There's another fascinating Gemara. Really interesting.
Are you referring to when you say
Hatov Ametiv? The fourth bracha of benching. Hatov Ametiv. And then it ends. Okay? So that's the fourth bracha. That was established according to the Gemara in Brachos Daf Mem Ches. Hopefully you guys will get there. It's that. What?
There's no
Baruch Atah
Hashem.
There is.
No, there is
no. No, right. There's no end bracha. Because it's a bracha asmucha lechaverto, it's connected to the other brachas, so it doesn't need the full blessing. Good call. But historically, when did it happen? So Gemara says, after the Haruge Beitar. Okay, during the Bar Kokhba revolution, when the Jewish people were rebelling, so they the Romans brutally murdered many people. Beitar was like the Ir Habira, it was supposed to be the new metropolis for the new Israel. We know the revolution failed, and the Romans did not let the Jewish blood, the Jews, get buried. So then later, the Jews were allowed to come back, and miraculously, the bodies were not stinky, and they were allowed to bury the people who were killed. And the rabbis established a bracha on this, Hatov V'Hametiv. Okay? Now, if that's not weird, I don't know. Right? Every day, we're thanking God, we're having some cornflakes, and then I'm thanking Hashem because these Jews were murdered, but their bodies didn't stink, and we were allowed to bury them.
That's pretty sweet.
It is pretty sweet, but it's pretty cool, but like, there's got to be some deeper idea there. Like, what does that mean? Like, you know, there's got to be some significance. So let's put our heads together, guys. What is that? What do you think the Gemara is trying to say when it says that the fourth bracha was established when these Jews were murdered, but their bodies didn't stink, and they were allowed to be buried. Any other ideas? What's the idea? What's the hashkafic? What's the hashkafic idea that the Gemara is trying to express when it says that the fourth bracha is, even though these people were killed, this miracle happened?
Got a shower.
Okay. What else?
I don't know what that's doing for me.
All right. So I'll suggest a simple idea. I think it's actually a beautiful idea. I think Rav Kook says this in Ayah, in his commentary on Brachos. But I think Rav Kook explains that what we're reminding ourselves is, even during those terrible times, right, and it seems horrible when Jews are being murdered, right, and life, that we don't understand why Hashem is doing this, we're reaffirming our emunah, our faith, that Hashem is still with us, even during those times. Like Kaddish. And so, by Hashem doing that miracle of the blood, of them not stinking, it was Hashem saying, I know it seems like I'm not here, this revolution was quashed, many Jews were killed, I'm still with you. I know it doesn't seem like that, there's Hester Panim, right? But I'm with you, and when we bench, and we say, Atov V'Ameitiv, he's good, and he makes good, we're reminding ourselves every day that even during those dark times, Hashem is still with us. Okay? Makes sense? Good. So that's the fourth bracha. And then after the fourth bracha, you have one thing which is a minog and one thing which is actually rooted in the Gemara. A lot of people don't know this. What's the one harachaman which is rooted in the Gemara? This is very good to know. The blessing when you are a guest. Have you ever seen that people bless their host?
Yeah.
So that's actually comes from the Gemara. There's a specific nusach you'll find in the bencher that you should be close to the city, whatever. Brought down the Shulchan Aruch. The ideal is that you should bless your host with that blessing. Okay? If you don't remember the whole blessing, there's a shorter version that a lot of Ashkenazim say, but that Mishnah Berurah says, you're supposed to say the whole blessing. You can make up your own blessing in English, that's good too. HaRachman V'recha et Balabaita says, it's a short version, but there's a longer version. Okay? As for all the rest of the HaRachamans, as we mentioned before, this is a minhag. Okay? So it's a good minhag. There were rabbis who didn't say HaRachamans on Shabbat. Why not? Because the Rachaman is a personal prayer. And on Shabbos, we don't do personal prayers. So those who have the custom of the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, would not say Rachaman. And some people don't say this, but in general, the practice is to say this. So I say Rachaman, 95% of Orthodox Jews do say Rachaman. There are some from Jews who follow the Vilna Gaon's custom and don't say Rachaman. And also in like Kiruv camps, like in my own, we were lenient. We didn't want to overburden the kids, so we didn't make them do the Harachamans. But what's the problem if you skip the Harachamans? All the best songs are in the Harachamans in the Yirat Hashem. So you missed the best part of benching. So you got to do the Harachamans. Now, but on a practical level, it's less strict. You can take a guitar out. You can make up your own personal prayers. You can walk away if you have to leave. So the minhag of the Jewish people is to say it. You should say it, I think. But there's definitely a lot more room for leniency and creativity in the Harachamans than anywhere else. Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Camp Sarwash?
I haven't.
It was an international Jewish camp in Hungary for kids like all over Europe. It was like an American program.
I have. Yes, I have.
These kids who like might not know they're Jewish or like that's not a Jewish thing in their life or whatever.